Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
And so this morning, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to 1 John chapter 4. My wife has this way of always asking at Christmas and Easter, hey, are you going to preach a normal text? And I always think that the whole Bible is the story from Genesis to Revelation of God's love. And so what she means by that is, are you going to preach a birth narrative on Christmas or a resurrection narrative on Easter? Well, tonight I will do that in our Easter or Christmas Eve, not Easter. Well, I tell you what, we just jumped from Christmas to Easter, but I'll do that tonight in our Christmas Eve service. From Matthew's Gospel. But this morning I want us to look at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to talk about love. And so this week I was doing a little research on love, and I thought, how is it that children describe love? And I came across some ways children describe love. Look with me on the screen. You should see these, how they describe love. Love is like glitter. It gets everywhere. And you can't get rid of it, even if you try. So it's better than to just enjoy the sparkle. Now, listen, if you're a grandparent or a parent of daughters, you know glitter. Glitter is everywhere, and glitter gets on things. But I love how this child says, it is everywhere, you can't get rid of it, so just enjoy the sparkle. I think that's a great one. Here's another one. Love is not red or pink, it's a super color. I'm wondering what a super color is that you can't find in a crayon box. It's the color that makes everything feel fuzzy and warm. Isn't that sweet? Oh, that's like a Hallmark statement right there, right? All right, here's another one. Love is like a ninja. Now, I'm thinking this is a boy, okay? I mean, I don't know very many girls who think of ninjas, but the little boy says, love is like a ninja. It sneaks up on you when you least expect it. And then, bam, you're hugging everyone. Now, I have met some people who had that ninja sneak up on them, and that's all they do is hug. Anybody know that ninja that hugs? Okay. All right. I think I got two more. All right. Love is peanut butter sandwich. I'm good with that so far. It sticks to everything together, even if it gets messy. It's still the best thing ever. Oh, there you go. I think I got one more. Love is like doing a silly dance. It might look funny, but it feels so good. And you don't care what anyone else thinks. Now, listen, that's only a child, because the rest of us would be like looking around going, who's paying attention? What does anybody see? I'm going to move that mic so it doesn't pop anymore for you, fellas. All right. One more, I think, because I got a parent one here. Do I have a parent one? Oh, I know I do. So, love is a special potion that makes you giggle a lot. That's why grown-ups are always silly when they're in love. All right? So it's funny how these children have described love. And it's cute, and it's just a reminder to us about love. But this morning, I want us to look at John chapter 4, and I want us to really talk about love and the way that God means love for us to. Well, I like the peanut butter analogy, because it is good, and it can be messy. I love the ninja that sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden you're hugging everybody. But there's more to it. And John tells us that in 1 John. And so this morning, here's the idea I want you to catch. It's really simple. Love begins with God. And it begins with God loving us. And in turn, we love others with the same love. As we'll see this morning, love starts with God. You didn't earn it. You really don't deserve it. But God is love. And so this morning, let's read 1 John 4. So if you can stand, would you stand as we do this? Beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might, through Him, live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. Would you pray with us? Oh, Holy Father, today as we talk about love, remind us that it is Your love, that You are love, that no matter what happens in life, we can never escape You and Your love. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. So John tells us a little bit about love here in 1 John chapter 4. And as we look at these texts, we're going to see some things about love. But really, the word love here is agape. And actually, from verse 4 that we read all the way to chapter 5, verse 3, agape, the love agape, is used 30 times. It's the truest form of love. We do things and we say things in the English language that there were multiple words in the Greek that they would use. So there are multiple ways to say love in the Greek language. We just say love. And there'll be somebody tomorrow morning, or maybe you've already done it, you've opened a Christmas present and you'll go, "Oh, I," what? "Love that." Right? But do you love that like you love your spouse? Whatever, let's rephrase that. It's Christmas, let's be on the positive. Do you love that like you love God? No. You know, you don't. The word agape here is the highest form. It's the word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13:13. When Paul says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. It's the greatest form of love. John is the guy who could tell us about love. Paul tells us a lot about faith. Peter tells us a lot about hope. James tells us a lot about works. John is the apostle who talks about love. And so this morning what I want us to do is I want us to unpack this for a few minutes, and I want us to look at three things that he tells us about love and remind ourselves of the importance of love on this Christmas Eve, because it is love that sent Christ in the form of a baby. It is love that sent Christ to the cross. It is love that God has for you and me that we gathered this morning. So let's notice a few things. First thing I want you to catch out of this text is love originates with God. Love originates from God, and we see that right out of the gate. When we read verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God." Love is from God. It originates from God. It is God who sets it together. It's God who puts all things in motion. It is God who first loved. The reality is, God is love. Now, let's be clear on a couple of things. When I tell you that love originates from God, that our love is because of God, you automatically may think, well, what about the person who doesn't know Christ? How do they love? Why do they love? Well, let's make some things clear. It's not that they, I tell you what, I'm just going to go to the pulpit. That way we're not doing that. It's not that they don't know how to love. They just don't know God. And you go, well, how can they love if they don't know God? Well, let's think about this for a moment. Every one of us in here reflect the one who created us. Whether we know it or not, we reflect God. We reflect Him in so many different ways, whether we acknowledge who God is, a part of our DNA who made us, God formed us in His image, and therefore, because of that, there is a part of us who understand what love is. I mean, it's like growing up. People understand right and wrong whether you grew up in a Christian household, because we know what's supposed to be right. And so for a non-Christian to love, and let's be honest, a non-believer, a non-Christian sometimes out-loves a believer. Did you catch that? It's not supposed to be that way. But there are moments when lost people love better than saved people. Saved people don't always love their neighbor as they should. Saved people don't always love their church members as they should. And sometimes lost people love more better than we do. But the thing is, where do we understand love comes from? Where love originates from God. God is love. And because God is love, there is this thing that happens inside us. And once that happens, it changes who we are. When we recognize who God is, there are things about us, and it makes a difference in the way we live our life. And because of that, we begin to love like Christ loved us. And when that change takes place, that change happens in such a way that it changes our behavior. It should change the way we talk. It should change the way we perceive things, the way we do things. It changes our moral character. It changes our values. It changes everything about us. Why? Because we know who taught us to love. We know that love originates with God. We know God is love. And so we have a moral compass. We have this moment where we can come and we realize love. The second thing we see in this text is simply that not only does love originate from God, but it is evident by God. It is evident by God. When you look at the text again, look at verse 9. Of chapter 4, not chapter 1 already. Verse 9 says, God is love. Or God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. It is evident by God. I like that thought process, in that God originates love and then it's evident by God. Do you realize there's nothing you can do to escape God's love? Nor is there nothing you can do that can earn God's love. I mean, think about that for a moment. You can't escape it, and you can't earn it. God is love. And sometimes we think about God's love and we miss that, because we think only God loves those of us who do His will. Do you realize that God loved Adolf Hitler, Marilyn Manson, as much as He loved Billy Graham? Christ went to the cross just as much for them as He did for you and I. It is evident by His love for us. And when we begin to realize that, it begins to change who we are. We didn't earn it. If we earned it, we would have to keep earning it. And let's just be honest, nobody in this room is perfect. no matter how many times you tell your husband you are. Nobody in this room is perfect at anything. But God is love. And His perfect love endures forever. Don't you love that? Because there are times when, let's just be honest, we're unlovable. You know, I would have thought somebody would amen there. I was that way yesterday. I had a moment yesterday that wasn't very, very lovable or kind. And if my actions depended on God, if my actions depended on God loving me, I'd have messed up yesterday. But God's love for us is evident not that He put stipulations, but that He sent His one and only Son. The greatest gift. The greatest gift we could ever receive is why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas not because of gifts under a tree, but a baby who came in a lonely manger, in a water trough, in a lowly place. But not only do we celebrate that birth, but we celebrate that because of what He did on the cross. See, Christmas means nothing if we do not have the cross. But Jesus came in a humble way and died in a humble way. Went to a cross and then went into another man's tomb. But praise God, 3 days later, He rose. And so that's what we see. We see love is evident by God. And because it originates from God and it is evident by God, the third thing we catch out of this text is the most powerful. It's the transformed. Love transformed us by God. Love is transformed in us by God. It is that moment that we come and we realize what God can do. That we begin to love others because Christ loved us first. Now think about that for a few minutes. Oftentimes if I'm talking with somebody, they will begin to tell me all the things they've done in their life and why maybe God couldn't love them. And I always enjoy those conversations because what I know is the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. I know what Christ will do. And so I begin to tell them that on the day that Christ hung on that cross for our sins, there were two thieves, and one of them in that moment recognized who Christ was. And I remind them that, listen, it wasn't a common occurrence for everybody who was being put to death to go to a cross. It was only the hardcore criminals, and it was the ones that they wanted to punish through death. So this isn't a nice guy hanging on the cross next to Jesus. But on that day, he realized who Jesus was and the love that came from Him. And he says, "Remember me." And what does Christ say? "Well, I'm sorry, you're too late." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Sorry, you should have done more while you were on earth." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And that same truth for that criminal is true for you and for me. I think of the love that God had for a man by the name of Paul, who was before he was Paul, he was Saul. What do you think about Saul? Well, his job was to persecute the church, basically shut it down, hurt the church, destroy the church. And yet on the Damascus Road, Paul had this moment in which he encountered Christ. A moment in which he began to realize the one he was persecuting is calling him and loving him. Paul changed, all because of the love of God. His life was transformed by love because Christ loved him. And you know, it's funny. The one who persecuted the church became the one who wrote more to the church about God's love. So I always remind folks, there's nothing you can do that hasn't already been done. They've tried to kill the church, and Christ loved them enough that they begin to recognize. Their path was darkened and ugly, and Christ says, today you'll be with me in paradise. God has a way of transforming a life. But here's the thing. Love originated with God. Love is evident by God, and it's transformed by God. And in doing so, God has the patience to walk with us. I mean, you think about the way he's loved from Genesis to Revelation. Wednesday nights we're studying, and even in Sunday school we're studying Genesis, and we're reminded of the sin and the fall of Adam and Eve. But what's the first thing after the fall? God's love. He loves Adam and Eve. He performs the first sacrifice. And from the moment sin entered this world, God began to chase after humanity and remind them of his love. It's not a Kentucky basketball one and done. You don't get a chance, and when you sin, you're out. Once you've been forgiven, it's a continual love. You think of David, King David, a man after God's own what? Heart. And I love the story of King David, and you read David and you begin to see David's pure heart for God, and even how people said, oh, Saul's been given to you, kill him, and David recognizes, no, that's not what God wants me to do. But then there comes this black moment, this black period in David's life, this black mark on his life, when he stands on a rooftop and takes a second look at a woman who's bathing below. A woman who's not his wife, a woman who's obviously pretty. And rather than going back into the palace, he glances a little longer, stares a little more, and eventually calls her to his room. And then he tries to cover it up. Has a man killed. If it was, you get the forgiveness once, and then if you don't act right, you're not going to receive my love, David would be out. But his life was transformed by God. Changed because of the love of Christ. And David repented, and his life was changed. One and done, Peter would be out. You know, Peter, I'll follow you to the death. Do you know that man? Oh, I have no idea who that is. And the third time, the rooster crows. And we read where he walks away and weeps bitterly because he knows the sin he's just committed. But Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. And he restores him. Peter proclaims the gospel, and over 3,000 people come to know Christ. Do you realize Peter preaches better than Jesus? Jesus never had 3,000 people come to know Christ. It wasn't what he was here to do. He was here to instruct 12, to live by example, to go to a cross. Peter and the apostles were to go proclaim the good news, and God did the rest. Love originates with God, and we need in this time, in this day, somebody to point us and tell us what true love looks like, because we think love is found in Hallmark movies, and how people fall in love in a Hallmark movie is how that must be real love. No, that's not real love. Real love is not just getting along and living together. Real love is
selfless love, of giving of yourself for someone else. Real love is working through those moments when those difficult days come. Real love is acknowledging when we make mistakes and forgiving when mistakes have been made. Do you understand that's the love? Oh, I like the sparkle, the glitter analogy. I will forever now remember this after I've read that this week, glitter as an analogy to think about God's love. I had a friend who called it devil dust because it gets everywhere and you can't get it out. You know, Christmas time, little girls come to church in their dresses and it's in the pews, it's everywhere, it's in the car, it's... But what a great analogy. That is God's love. And He loves us unconditionally. I grew up in a family... Sorry. Jeannie, come on. I grew up in a family who, as I've told you, I came to know Christ at an early age, age of 8. And you know, at that moment, there was a moment for me to acknowledge I understand God's love. At the age of 8, I knew that God loved me unconditionally. But at the age of 8, I did not understand what that love looked like. I knew that Christ loved me and that love would give me eternal life. Now, some 40 plus years later, I come to understand that God's love is so much greater. It's so much greater that because I understand when the mistakes happen, when the failure happens, when sin wants to take over and control you. I understand that when those moments happen, God doesn't disown me, although there are times other people would. God just called me home. And so this Christmas Eve, what I want to remind you is the greatest love you can ever receive. It's not from a child, not from a spouse, not from a family member, but from God Almighty. And that maybe you're here and you're just like me. You've walked that path and in doing so, you've made mistakes and there have been people who disowned you because of your mistakes. Hear me, friend. God loves you. He doesn't disown you. He died for you. Would you respond to Him today? Maybe you're here this morning and the response needs to be to join a church family because God's been loving on you and pointing you in the right direction and He's waiting on you to step out and be a part of His kingdom and the work that's here at Panther Creek. Maybe it's here today and you don't know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. You've been around church, but you've never confessed Christ. You think, well, what will people think? What will somebody think? I've been coming to church so long, people just automatically assume. Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody in this room thinks. It only matters what God thinks. And the truth of the matter is, if you come to know Christ today, everybody in this room who's a believer will celebrate with you. Because we've all been in that spot. We've all been in that spot where we realize the need for Christ. So on this morning, would you respond to Jesus' calling?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.